Welcome to this week's episode of On the Brighter Side. I am so excited to have as our guest today, Laura M. Brotherson, who is the author of Knowing Her Intimately, one of my very, very, very favorite books on female sexual wiring. This episode will be an overview of the book and has so much information about where you can start to create a sextraordinary marriage. I just want to give you a little forewarning that we do talk about adult topics and use the word sex often. So if there are little ears around, you might want to pop in headphones. But we do discuss it as it relates to a beautiful experience within marriage. So sit back, relax, and enjoy this episode of On the Brighter Side with my guest, Laura Brotherson. And welcome to On the Brighter Side. I'm your host, Monica Tanner, and I'm super, super, super duper excited about our guest today. She is licensed marriage and family therapist and certified sex therapist, Laura M. Brotherson. She is the founder of the Marital Intimacy Institute with a mission to help couples create sextraordinary marriages. She counsels with individual couples and families in private practice and online and is passionate about helping couples navigate the intricacies of intimacy, specializing in healthy sexuality, sex therapy, and sex addiction. Laura shares her passion for building strong marriages and families as the author of several best-selling books, one of which we will be discussing today, Knowing Her Intimately, 12 Keys for Creating a Sextraordinary Marriage. And also her latest book, From Honeymoon to Happily Ever After, 23 Keys to Prepare for a Sextraordinary Marriage. She and her husband, Kevin, are the founders of strengtheningmarriage.com, your trusted resource for education, products, and services to strengthen marriages intimately. All right. So welcome, Laura. I am so excited. I also want to share a little bit of my personal experience with Laura Brotherson. So about 3 years ago, my youngest child went to school full time, and I was like faced with this whole, what am I going to do when I grow up dilemma. And so I decided I wanted to go back to school to become a marriage and family counselor who specializes in sex therapy. And I had recently read your book, Knowing Her Intimately, and you actually lived in my town. And so I had a friend connect us and we had a conversation on the phone. And I remember after that conversation thinking, oh my gosh, you are so encouraging. I wanted to be just like you. Like my whole goal in life was just to write a book and, you know, help people have sextraordinary marriages. And I just was so happy that I had that personal connection with you. And someday I will be you when I grow up, but my version of you.
You bet. Totally awesome.
So then years later, probably 3 years later, here we are kind of doing the same thing, passionate about the same thing in helping couples. I love that you've coined this phrase, have sextraordinary marriages, because that,
that the best
like,
word?
Is my whole purpose. Yes, it's so
it's the
good.
Best word ever. I love that word.
Yeah, if it's not in the dictionary, I will make it's it not. My goal to put it in the dictionary. At some point, it will be in some version. Of the dictionary.
I know for sure.
But let's start by having you tell us a little bit more about yourself and your family.
Sure. Yeah. So I also have a darling husband. He's awesome and super hot, but super awesome. Perfect for me, of course, just like I think you've said. He's a software engineer. So he's been working from home for like 10, 15 years. So we've had this coronavirus working from home thing down for a long time because I also half time work from home when I'm not seeing clients. And so, yeah, he's awesome. And we met at BYU. We've been married. Oh, I hate to even say this word out loud. We've been married almost 29 years, but I seriously, Monica, feel like I'm 29. So that just does not even resonate in my brain. I don't even get that. So just ignore that number, except that it does give me a lot of good experience. So, and then I've got three awesome kids. One of them is already graduated from BYU and I've got two still at BYU. And the daughter in the middle is married to an awesome son-in-law who I adore. And so I do technically have at the moment two two very darling eligible bachelor sons, which they will hate that I said that.
If anybody out there is listening is single, I don't know. It's probably good that they're listening to my podcast. They might be rip-roaring and ready to meet your sons.
Yeah, somebody's mother might be listening. But something else that's kind of fun that's totally related is I do drive a Corvette, and that is totally my husband's fault because he's kind of a car guy. And he's like, once I got the car and I've been driving it, I'm like, oh my gosh, I love this car. It is so validating of my personality that I'm like, okay, now I'm addicted to it. Thank you very much, husband. But the coolest thing about it is that he, way back in the beginning, he said to me, Laura, I have this great idea for the license plate. And I was like, what? He's like, what if we got date night on it? And I'm like, oh my gosh, that's awesome. So my license plate says date night because that's my other very favorite thing. And so I drive a Corvette that has date night on the back of it.
I love it. I love it. That's so perfect. Well, I would love to hear about how you got into sex therapy of all things and what you love the most about it.
Yes. Okay. So real briefly, I got my bachelor's degree from BYU in family science. I then got married and raised my kids. When they went back to school, I actually had been, before they had gone back to school, I had taught an institute course on strengthening marriage. And a good third of that course was on sexuality. And I realized that people did not have this information. And I knew I could help people in a way that most people don't. That's one of my fun things about being a sex therapist is that most people don't do this. Most people wouldn't want to do this. So I love doing things that are challenging, maybe for somebody else. And so I taught that class, but then that's when I decided to write my first book, And They Were Not Ashamed, Strengthening Marriage Through Sexual Fulfillment. Then I went back and got my master's degree in marriage and family therapy, and then got my, it's almost like a second master's degree in to become a certified sex therapist. So then I got all of that, and I love what I do. Every day when I go home from work, seriously, people would not believe this, but I'm a total extrovert too, so that helps. But I leave and I think, I love what I do. I feel like I help people and I feel like I can make a difference. And it's a little bit, I think the number one thing why I love what I do is because I think the number one relationship on this earth is our marital relationship. And I think that it's a little bit like the gospel. I'm a member of the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints. And so it's like having that joy and the beauty of the gospel. I want to share it with other people. And so that's also what drives me to help people create awesome marriages, extraordinary marriages, and sextraordinary marriages, because it is doable for everybody.
It is. I love that you said that. It is doable for everybody. I honestly believe you just need the right tools and maybe even the right guide.
Yeah, I think you're right on the money.
It's absolutely possible. I love that. So let's get straight into it, because there's a lot of information and I want to give people a really good taste of knowing her intimately, those 12 T's, and let's just get started.
Yeah. And remember, you know, every T that we're going to talk about is one of the 12 chapters. And so you and I aren't going to be able to talk a ton about it, but we'll just give them at least a little smattering where they can kind of go, oh my gosh, that's one I need to work on. Then they can just dive in from there and get the rest of it.
I love it. Okay. Well, let's start with T number one.
T number one is the most important, and it's transformed sexual identity. Okay. So what the deal is with this is that if people do not, the gist is that the research tells us that a lot of women have kind of an asexual view of self. That means they see themselves as maybe a spiritual person and a social being and a mental being, but they do not see themselves as a sexual being. So if you do not see yourself as a sexual being, then everything else we're going to talk about is going to be harder to do. Some women have this down, and I'll just quickly say that we're kind of talking to the 80-20, 80% are the lower desire women in a marriage, but there's a 20%, a big population of women, wives, that are going to be almost apply the opposite information. But for them that kind of have that down, then the rest of this will be a lot easier. But the gist of it is that women have to embrace, acknowledge, nurture, enjoy, tune into their sexuality. And when they can do that and take some ownership for their own sexuality and their own sexual fulfillment in that sexual relationship, then everything else can grow from there. That's kind of our key number one thing to do.
Yeah. Well, I just want to point out two concepts that you go over in the book that I absolutely love. And the one is like this pie chart of the complete self. So I think that, you know, we're real good as parents at teaching our kids about, you know, the physical aspects of ourselves and the mental mental and the emotional aspects of ourselves, but we almost always ignore this idea that there is this sexual piece of the pie that makes up who we are as human beings. And so, you know, if you haven't been taught that growing up, it's a hard kind of pill to swallow as an adult, but it is so important to acknowledge that that is such a crucial part of ourselves. And good.
Yeah, for sure. Think about it, where men kind of have that natural built-in testosterone-driven drive and women don't have that. Ours is, we'll talk about this, but ours is more emotionally based. If we haven't embraced our own sexuality and see it as something good and part of our wholeness, then we are constantly, basically when we are having sex, we're kind of doing duty sex, servicing sex, charity sex, dead fish sex, whatever we want to call it. And so that's why this step is crucial, crucial if we don't have that down yet.
Yeah.
And I walk through exactly how to accomplish this. And really quick, just because this is so important, I'll take an extra second here. But three things that are most important for people to start on this is, one, start clearing out the mental sludge about sex. Mm-hmm. Number one. And you can do that just with written things. I hate sex because of this. I hate my husband because he likes sex. I hate this because of this. I hate this. And you clean that out and shred it. That's step one. Step two, get this book on audio. Listen to it every day as much as you can to start feeding into your brain positive, affirming, educational sexual information that starts to make this topic a little bit more familiar and normal for you. And step three is practice your flirtiness. And for some women, because think about it, to be flirty well, you're kind of stepping a little bit into the sexual realm that isn't our natural forte if we haven't embraced it. So every time you're flirty, you step a little bit into the sexual realm and you have to kind of embrace that. And even I tell a lot of wives, I'm like, listen, just go ahead and tell your husband, Laura said I'm doing homework. I'm working on my flirtiness. And so when I come up and smack your butt, you do not think it's a green light. You just act like it's just no big deal, like it happens every day. And you just be cool, calm, and collected while I practice being flirty.
Yes. Flirtiness is my favorite. I love, love, love talking about flirtiness.
But that's awesome.
I do want to spend a little more time on this chapter just because it is the foundation of all of the teas. But the other point you make in the book that I just loved is that we're given so many messages, right? So, you know, kind of the traditional religious message that we get is, you know, sex is not good, that it's, you know, no, right? And then we have this worldly view of sex where it just gets so tainted and mislabeled and you know, you just these terrible, terrible ideas. And so if you don't have this healthy view of sexuality as beautiful and wonderful and godly, it's okay. It's not your fault. There's so much bad information out there. So it's okay to just be like, okay, clear out the sludge, just like you said, and start over with a better view of what sex really is.
Yeah. And that's exactly why I've written three books, is because even at the time when I wrote my first book, we had two books, but I'm a real practical application kind of person. I was listening to your Matt Townsend, who I love because we're on KSL together, and he wanted to be a coach because it's more practical. I'm a therapist, but I'm very practical. And so I felt like we didn't have stuff that was really practical and really in depth for where people really struggle. And so that's kind of why for me, I'm just like, if you don't know where to start, just start with one of my books, start listening to them just in the background of your brain. You don't even need to pay attention. Just start feeding in positive sexual information.
Yeah, I love it so much. Okay, on to tea number two.
Hey, tea number two is related to tea number one because it's thoughts and beliefs. And so obviously if we have to transform our sexual identity, a lot of that comes from our thoughts. So inside, we've got to clean out all of those negative thoughts. And so a lot of the work that we do in the beginning is kind of cleaning out that sludge and getting that positive stuff put back in there, because sex starts in the brain and people forget that. And so if we don't have positive thoughts about ourselves, our body, sex itself, our husband, his body, then we're going to have a hard time really stepping into this transcendent sexual experience. And that's what it is. God created this very unique experience in sex. And so we've got to clean out and get our thoughts in gear there. Now that's kind of an outside the bedroom avenue of thoughts, but the inside the bedroom is more of a, women are the world wide web. We've got 59 things going on at all times. And so we are now also trying to develop mental discipline within the bedroom so that we can focus on lovemaking, focus on the pleasure, focus on our spouse and just the wonderfulness of that experience. And so we do need to develop the ability to shut out those thoughts and feelings and to just set them aside so that we can be fully present in the sexual experience. The research, you know, is always a little slow, but catching up to tell us about how important things like mindfulness are in the bedroom. And that's a really huge tool for us with thoughts and beliefs.
Yeah. I'm going to tell you that all the teas are my favorite, but
I know
this is one of my favorites just because, I mean, it's so important. And nobody teaches you that your brain is like probably your most important sex organ.
Yeah.
Especially for women, You need both. You can't, it's not going to work.
For sure. And it's more important even than, it's so funny because, you know, husbands will get my book and they'll immediately go to chapter 10 or 11 that talks about teasing and treats or actually techniques. They'll go to like the techniques chapter because they think it's a technique that's missing and it's not usually, that's literally down lower on our to-do, on our list of important things. It's things like thoughts way before what position or technique or anything like that.
It's so true. And I don't want people to get overwhelmed here because this is a lot. It's a lot to do, but it's super, super doable. If you just get the book, honestly, like get the book and go slow and just start focusing on these different areas in order. They do work in order. You can do it. Like I just want to put that plug in. Like it's
Yeah. And I think, you know, just to kind of put it in context too, is there's a lot of people that won't go to a marriage counselor and won't go to a sex therapist if they can even find a good one that they can trust. And so that is exactly why I created this book. So people, what we know from research is that people can just get good education and make a lot of their own good changes. And so I literally walk people through almost as if they were a client. And so the worksheets, the handouts, the exercises, everything is just stuff people can, and a ton of people already do. They just follow and they do it on their own and they don't ever need to even come see me. Some do, and that's great, but I really have made it simple. Even though it might feel overwhelming, you just take one area. I should have said this before, but even at the beginning of the book, I say, look, I have an assessment that you're supposed to go do first of all these 12 T's. You find the one or two areas that are kind of your areas that you most need help with. And you can even just focus on that if you need to.
Yeah.
I had a client just recently and she said, Laura, I did the assessment. She says, I think the only one that I really struggle with is the time and transition. I have a trouble making it a priority and I have trouble transitioning from mommy mode into wife mode. And so we worked on just that.
So good. Yeah. And like our minds are the World Wide Web, that all starts in your mind. Both of those two things. That's like right here first.
Yes, for sure.
All right. Number three.
T number three is tenderness, thoughtfulness, trust. So this is that emotional foundation that is the parallel to a male testosterone, is a simplified way to say it. So when a woman feels close and connected and warm feelings between husband and wife, then it's so much easier for us to get from 0 to 60 sexually, because we're starting, if ideally, I encourage people to live like at 40 on the 0 to 60 scale. So like if you're already emotionally at 40, then when the husband says, hey, do you want to get lucky tonight? Yeah. And you're like, yeah, okay, I can get there. And then now you've just got to work your way up the rest of the way, which we'll talk about in the transition and the techniques part. But it's just a matter of having those connections. And these are basic things like my license plate, date night, and love language. I have a worksheet. People can go get a lot of help on my counseling website, maritalintimacyinstitute.com. And one of the worksheets there on my resource page is just my love language worksheet, where people can just write down 10 specific things that make them feel loved and rate how much each of those items makes them feel loved. So this one makes me feel loved at a 9 or an 8. And when a husband and wife have this, then they know exactly what to do to make each other feel close and connected. And then we're just starting good to go with moving into sexual experiences.
I love it. So good. Okay, number four.
Okay, number four, and we can move through some of these a little bit more quickly now, but number four is time. And it's really just a matter of making sexuality, making each other a priority. And a lot of times, especially with women being the World Wide Web, we kind of make sex and that dimension of marriage a lower priority. And it never, I mean, I've got a bunch of posts recently on Instagram about clients saying, I just never make it to the top of my wife's to-do list. Mm-hmm. And that's just really sad, because one of the things we won't really talk about here, but the number one thing for a husband, the number one characteristic of male sexuality is they don't want to be loved. They want to be wanted and desired. And a lot of women don't get that because we don't think that way. That's not how we're wired. And so, but if you don't get that down, then it's a lot harder to make him a priority and make all of this a priority. Okay. So number four is time. And the other thing with time, again, outside the bedroom time and then inside the bedroom time, is we do need to make sure women are getting enough of the emotional warm-up and then the physical sexual warm-up so that they walk up their, they can get their way up the arousal scale so that they can have an orgasm and have that mutually enjoyable experience with each other.
Absolutely. Okay? And there's so much in what I teach in this as well. I get really excited about it. Desire types and, you know, all those different things that play in. But one of the things that makes making sex a priority is having a good understanding of the purpose of sex. Because if sex is just something on your to-do list, then it's hard to be like, all right, let's check that one off, right? But if we see sex for what it is and how it can be so sustaining and rejuvenating and supporting and all of those
bonding.
Yes, all of those beautiful like aspects of sex that we don't think about, that we're not really taught until we start to experience real sex. And then it kind of becomes this positive feedback loop where we're experiencing this great sex. And then we're starting to understand better like what beautiful sex is about.
Yeah.
Then it's not just an item on their to-do list. It makes it much easier to find the time for sex when you understand that you need it. Like it's something that we need as humans to feel sustained and bonded and all of those things. Yeah.
And it's kind of part of what we talk about in chapter 1 and chapter 12, but that sex is part of our wholeness. Yeah. It's part of our aliveness. It isn't something, I talk about three levels of sexuality that I won't get into, but it's part of something that we want to do to be whole, not something we just do for our spouse. And yet it is probably, again, if your husband's number one way he feels loved is sexual connection, and yet that's not your forte, you're going to have a disconnected to some degree marriage. Mm-hmm. So it has multiple important purposes for sure.
Love it. All right. Bye.
Okay. Dive in number five. So transition. This is awesome. Women have a little bit of a transition time to get from mommy mode into wife and lover mode. We need to kind of have a process. And this is one of the other things that I talk about, and I should give this to you as a resource to share, but it's my rocket diagram where women are basically four steps away from desire. And so when we're four steps away from desire, then it means that our step zero is that, do I feel connected? Have I embraced my sexuality? Do I feel connected? Do I feel like I could freely choose? Do I feel a measure of agency? That's kind of step zero. It's the context in which we choose to want to. And we move into step one, which is I decide to, even though I don't have the feeling of it yet. And then step two is some emotional connection. And step three is some sexual connection, some actual arousal or foreplay. And then we arrive at step four, which is now I actually kind of feel like I want to.
Yeah.
And so now I arrive at desire four steps away later than my husband started at it. Okay. So that transition process, we have to do some things to learn that. And one simple worksheet that I have in there is something called Bridges to Desire, where you can identify things that you can do to warm up and to get into the mood, things that he can do with you, for you, things that you can do together. And so people can figure that out and be able to figure out, how do I get from 0 to 60 or 40 to 60, hopefully, in that particular lovemaking session. So,
okay, I think we're on 6.
Yep, 6 is talk. So really briefly, talk is just the primary way in which we connect as husband and wife. But it's also the primary way that we talk about and learn about what makes each other feel fulfilled and turned on sexually. So if couples can't talk about sex, we've got a real problem there. Okay, so that's outside the bedroom. Inside the bedroom, if I go back and get my doctorate, I probably will do it on something that I call auditory arousal. And that is something that is inside the bedroom. We kind of know that men are kind of visually wired, and women we might think of as being auditorily wired. And so we're kind of underutilizing that element of just even a or an or I really like that, or ooh, this turns me on, and verbalizing some of that, because that also helps with women being a little bit more tuned in and commanding their attention because they're actively participating verbally as well. So that's kind of our talk.
I can't wait for you to go back and do that.
Yes, for sure.
All right, number 7.
Okay, number 7 is our touch. And touch is just, a lot of couples aren't getting enough non-sexual touch outside the bedroom. And so we kind of need to up our game with non-sexual affection so that both husband and wife are kind of having that wonderful form of connection. But then inside the bedroom, we kind of need to make sure we know what kinds of touch each other needs. And so this is another exercise called breaks and accelerators, where husband and wife can both sit down, write out all the things that are turn-ons for them and things that are turn-offs. And when you can talk about those things and identify those things and share those things, then we can just have such an easier time creating a sextraordinary intimate relationship right there.
Awesome.
Right?
Yes, that is. Okay. I have an intimacy challenge that I do as well. And that is like day 11, I think, is figuring out your breaks and accelerators because it is so important.
Yes. Yeah, for sure. An important part of the touch section is that, especially for earlier marriages and maybe some later ones as well, but a lot of times women and even husbands don't understand the criticalness of clitoral stimulation. And so that becomes a big barrier for a lot of couples to understand that as well.
Yeah. And you know what? I love you point this out in your book, but it's like one of my favorite things about sex is that women, a clitoris for a woman, its only function is to give pleasure. Men do not have an organ that's only function is for pleasure. That is unique to us.
Yeah.
So I think if we recognize that our creator, however you envision that, gave us this one organ, part of our body, that its only function is to give pleasure, then we might understand a little bit better, like the purpose of sex.
Yeah, what a symbolic example for us to think about that God would provide that and make that an important part of an intimate relationship for couples.
Yeah, and our anatomy. So that's great. Okay, I think we're right.
Okay, number 8, technique and education. This is huge. I mean, this is so huge. That's why people need to read books, read my book in particular, is because there are a couple of things that people just simply do not know. They do not understand these 12 T's, these 12 areas of female sexual wholeness. These are all of the intricacies and inhibitors of female sexual arousal and climax. And so if you don't understand all of these pieces, you're gonna not do well. You know, you're just gonna have a problem. So that's a huge part. And the other part is just understanding male-female sexual differences. People don't understand how men are different and why they're different. And so I have 17 items in that chapter that talk about those differences. And so people need to just be familiar with that. And then they get to not feel like the other person is broken or don't work right or that they're a horrible way that God made them. No, it just is how it is. And now let's work with it and make it awesome from there. Okay.
So good. All right. Number 9.
Okay? Number 9 tuned in. So yes, I'm sort of like, I love all of the T's, but this number 9 is sort of my favorite because I truly believe that couples can have what we dream about having in a marriage. Because if couples will do the work to tune into each other outside the bedroom, then they can tune into each other inside the bedroom. Because think about it, for female sexual fulfillment, she really does not want to be directing traffic in the middle of sex. And so you've got to be able to talk about all these things and talk about these brakes and accelerators so that he kind of knows within the bedroom experience what to do and where to do it and how long to do it and when to stop it and all of those things. And so you've got to tune into each other. And it's that beautiful experience. It's why I called the book Knowing Her Intimately, is that that's the biblical term for sex. To know and to be known. And what a beautiful way to describe the act of sex. Yeah. So that's the simplified version of that. Tuned in. Okay. Thoughts on that one.
All right. 10. Okay.
10 is teasing and playfulness. I love this one. This is the playful, flirty. This is just a huge, it's a more of a mindset than anything else. I think you either have learned it or you have it down well, but not all women do well with teasing and playfulness. I think I had 3 clients just last week that when we talked about working on flirty, they just have this look like, I do not even know how to start that. That's just not me. That's not my personality. The thing is about marriage is that marriage is designed to create wholeness. It's a polishing process. It's a refiner's tool. And so in marriage, if you want awesome, which is very doable, you do have to do the work. And so you might need to stretch in some of these ways, like be a little bit more flirty and playful. That's a huge, that's almost kind of the mindset. And it goes right along with our number 11 treats, which is now we're talking about, this is the chapter that every husband goes to first. All right, what can we do with treats? But you know, I just walk people through even just all the different categories of treats. I mean, different times of the day, different locations, different kinds of ambiance. Do you have music? Do you have candles? Different kinds of attire, doing quickies, having long, luxurious lovemaking. I mean, all of these are the treats that especially are important to me, Monica, because of long-term awesomeness in marriage. We have so many long-term marriages that die. And a lot of that is because we don't keep enough of that. You've talked about this spark and the spice and the newness and the novelty and the adventure and the fun. All of that has to be in there. And yes, that might not be natural for everybody, but it's developable by everybody.
Agreed. I love that. And 10 and 11 are kind of my, I feel like my zone of genius too, because I just feel like if we're going to be married to the same person for 50 years, maybe, I mean, you don't want that sex to be boring.
Or any of it.
Yeah. My husband and I have been married for 18 years, right? We're getting to 20, but I'm like, we got another 20 to 30 years to go. So if sex isn't fun and exciting and new and different, and we're not like focused in that area of making that a priority to have fun with it, gosh, that is going to be a long 20 to 30 years, right?
And it's where like people hear that they, you know, the kids leave the home and the marriage kind of falls apart because more marriages die of neglect than of anything else. And so not only are we neglecting marriage, which is why date night is my favorite thing, but we're also not putting in enough newness and novelty for the brain to stay awake and alive and excited. And so we're not talking crazy here. We're talking just a little bit of something different. We'll take care of that.
Yeah, for sure. That even goes back to chapter one too, where you talk about like, listen, you know, you're going to work on your spirituality every single day, right? You're going to put good things into your mind because it's important to keep that intact. That's the same as, you know, your sexuality, right? You have to put food into your body every single day. You want to put good, important information into your mind every single day. You also want to feed that sexuality every single day. And part of that growing process is becoming flirty and fun and enjoying yourself and making it just a fun, cool, exciting experience for both of you.
Yeah, it's super funny because I mean, I actually can be very fun, but I'm not super good at spontaneous and kind of teasing naturally. So I use the joke, I'm just like, yeah, I can be spontaneous as long as I schedule it.
Yeah.
All of this work I've done myself. And so that's why I know it works and I know that it's doable and I know that people can get there. And yeah, sometimes they need a guide and sometimes they just need information and they can get there for sure.
I love it. Okay, we've made it to the crown jewel, number 12.
Number 12 is transcendence and surrender. And it kind of brings in the spirituality of sex into focus a little bit more clearly that sex is a transcendent experience. It's something that God created this really unique experience in sex that isn't, you know, appropriately available anywhere else. And for women to learn that they've got to relax and let go into that kind of scary, dangerous, interesting state. And so there's a lot of kind of trust and surrender that needs to happen in order to do this well. Because think about it, an orgasm itself is an involuntary response. And so it isn't something a woman can will herself into. And it isn't something that technically a husband can make his wife do either. She has to be willing and able to let herself experience that. And so all of that trust and that surrender, I mean, I even talk about the concept of, you know, sometimes our human partners, our spouses are not always 100% reliable and 100% trustworthy and 100% there for us, but there is someone who is, and that's God and that's our Savior. And when our wholeness and our wellness and our okayness is attached to God, then it makes it almost vicariously able to surrender and let go, even with an imperfect human. And that's just kind of a whole different animal.
Yeah, you just gave me something. I just had this really interesting thought. It's not fully developed, but a lot of it is about giving up control.
Yes.
And sometimes life is really hard and we have to just give up our control to a higher power and just have the faith that it's going to be okay. And that's almost like an orgasm. You just have to kind of give up the control and let it happen. It's not something we can control.
Well, and I think that all things denote God. And I think an orgasm is symbolic of a spiritual kind of an experience. And I think that you just said it really well. And that ability to connect and to be one so much with your spouse is what God designed for marriage and is doable for couples.
Yeah. And you talk about the big O isn't about orgasm. It's about oneness. But if you think about, I mean, when a man has an orgasm, that is the most like concentrated love and affection that they're going to have for you in that moment. Like, I mean, that's a really beautiful, beautiful state right there.
Yeah. And for both of us
experience it too, that way, I mean, that's bonding, that's oneness, that's unity, that's everything. And I think that a sexually fulfilled couple, like a mom and dad who are sexually fulfilled, show up that way as parents as well. And it's such a gift and a blessing to their kids.
Such a gift. Yeah. And And you just remind me of something. Even if we leave out the morality of sex outside of marriage, this is why God created sex just for a husband and wife. It is so profound. It is so bonding. It is so, so huge. He doesn't want us messing around, cheapening it with other people, because we give away a little part of our soul there. And that's not what is ideal if we can do our best to stick within that realm. Obviously, we don't all succeed at that, and I get that. And that's why we have repentance and the atonement, thankfully. But that is a really big point as to why sex is such a spiritual experience.
I love it. Oh my gosh, I would literally keep you here all day, but I know you have other things to do. Yeah. So I'm going to ask you my signature question. If you had the undivided attention of all the married couples in all the world for just a few minutes, what is the most important thing you could teach them about achieving a sextraordinary marriage?
Oh, I love that. I think the first thought that comes to my mind is one of my all-time favorite marriage quotes, which is by President Spencer W. Kimball. And it says, "Marriage can be more an exultant ecstasy than the human mind can conceive. This is within reach of every couple and every person." And we kind of touched on this earlier, but I genuinely believe that God designed the sexual relationship to be a sextraordinary, to have a sextraordinary marriage. It's what he wanted for every husband and wife. And I think the thing I would want couples most to know is that it's doable. It does take some work, but it's so worth it. And when people partner with the Savior, partner with God to be able to become their whole ideal best self, they can change anything they need to. They can become anyone they need to. And that's how, when you're whole, you're then able to become one. I use the analogy of, we come together in marriage kind of like two half people, you know, this half and this half. We come together and we feel whole, we feel complete. But what God is actually planning is for us to become whole individually, which then allows us to become one this way.
Oh, I love that.
And so everyone can do this if they'll do the work. Not everyone wants to do the work because it is a little challenging, but it's so worth it. And that's kind of my mission. That's my passion, is to help people have what I've learned, how to have a sextraordinary marriage.
Oh, beautifully stated. I love this. Okay, Laura, tell us where my listeners can find you, find more of you, find your books, find your resources online, all of the good things.
Yes, you bet. I mean, the easiest places, I have two websites. Strengtheningmarriage.com is my main website, and maritalintimacyinstitute.com is my counseling website, where I have all of these other clinical therapeutic resources. And of course, they can get my books there. I remembered right before we were doing this, I had my assistant set up a special discount just for your listeners, so they can get Knowing Her Intimately for just $10, which is a steal, on my website, strengtheningmarriage.com, if they use the code KNOWHER, KNOWHER, Know Her, and then they can get the book for $10 on our website right there. And then, of course, people can find me on Instagram. They can find me on Facebook, Strengthening Marriage, and they can get a lot of great help for free just by getting the book and getting it on audio too.
Fantastic. Thank you so, so much.
You betcha. Love, love being here. It's wonderful. I hope all of your people are just find at least one little thing that they can do to make their lives, their marriages better, and move towards having a sextraordinary marriage.
Me too.
All right. Hopefully you guys can see why I look up to Laura Brotherson so much and why she is such a mentor to me. I love all three of her books so much. And that was just like a super quick overview of Knowing Her Intimately, but I feel like every female on the planet should own a copy of that book. And in order to help make that a reality, make sure you head over to my Instagram, where I will be doing a giveaway where we will give away a couple of autographed copies of Knowing Her Intimately to two lucky winners. And if you don't win that, make sure you check out the show notes, where I have listed the website where you can get your copy of Knowing Her Intimately for just $10 using the code KNOWHER. So you're definitely going to want to get a copy of that book. She has her other two books that are also fantastic resources in this regard. And also, if you head over to my YouTube channel, I am doing kind of the video cliff notes of the book, where I go over each of the 12 T's each week. But again, a broad overview, because there is actually so much good information packed into each chapter of the book. So I hope you will check it out. I hope you will start with whatever tea you feel like could use some work, and know that I am always rooting for you, because I think that everyone should have a sextraordinary marriage. If you have any questions about any of the topics we discussed in this or any other podcast episode, make sure you book a relationship breakthrough call with me. Also, I'm really excited to announce some really cool projects I've been working on. Starting this Friday, we're going to be doing a new series on the podcast called Conversations with Interracial Couples, where I'm going to be interviewing interracial couples for two purposes. One, to learn how they deal with differences inside of their marriage, and two, to learn about their experiences and how they discuss difficult topics with their own children. I'm really thankful to all the couples who have agreed to be part of this, and I'm really excited for this week's interview. So if you're not subscribed to the podcast, make sure you subscribe, because we're going to start having episodes every Monday and every Friday. And I promise you do not want to miss any of these episodes that are coming. So until we meet again, have courage, be kind, and stay on the brighter side.